I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome back to the Garibaldi Red podcast, a Nottingham Forest podcast. We're here today to look ahead to a big game, Forest v Villa. It seems like every game we call in big games at the minute, but we've Forest travelled to Villa Park for, I'd like to say, probably a nice clash to see in the Premier League between two good clubs full of history and character. Back in the Premier League, and it's nice to have Forest Villa as a clash in the Premier League. To discuss all of the game, look ahead, a few injury news and bits and pieces, joined by Dave Asprey. Not with a strawberry milkshake today, though, Dave.
No, Max. Lemon and ginger tea pigs, only the best for Asprey. So, yeah, it's good to be back, mate.
Yes.
It's been, you know, some people might know I've had a really tough two or three months, and you know, I just feel now that it's okay to talk about football again. For a while it felt trite and trivial, but tomorrow's game is anything but trivial, and it's a great prospect. Two European Cup winning clubs going head to head in a fantastic stadium. You know, I mean, we've got a great stadium, the best in the world, and theirs isn't bad either. So yeah, looking forward to it, Max.
Yeah, definitely. And also, Dave, nice to see you back, as you touched on there. Great to have you back on the podcast.
Thank you.
And nice to be talking about Forest with you again. Mm. So we travel to Villa tomorrow, coming off the back of a very positive result, really, against West Ham. Let's just touch on that game, actually, Dave, because I haven't really spoken to you about it. Just an all-round good performance from Forest. A lot of people will say, well, West Ham played badly. Well, I actually think Forest played very good, and Forest probably didn't get that credit maybe sometimes they deserve. But, you know, I know it's one game at a time, but something at the back of my head's kind of going, it actually feels like it's maybe coming together a little bit now.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Max. I think there's sufficient period now to allow us hindsight to take a view of what's, you know, what's happening under Nuno. And I think we're all generally agreed that the football has been better. I think Steve ran out of road. I think he ran out of energy. He'd done incredible things, and you know, he'll always be, you know, an icon of Nottingham Forest. But I think maybe he just sort of run out of a bit of gas. Nuno's come in, and I think with the exception of the Arsenal game, We've been in every game. Some we've won, like Newcastle and Manchester United and West Ham, and others we've lost, but we've performed well. Brentford away, I thought, should have got a point against Newcastle. Probably shaded affairs at Dean Court against Bournemouth. I think, you know, Arsenal for the first 85 minutes were two or three tiers above Forest. But even then, our lads didn't give up and came back and sort of made it a bit of a squeaky bum ending. So I think, you know, as a general perception, if you like, I think we're playing much more, well, I'm saying much more, but we're playing more front foot football, and I think we carry more of a goal threat now than we did previously. So but with regards to last Saturday, Max, it was I was wary. Any team that you take on that has just had a severe thumping like West Ham had at the London Stadium against Arsenal, you kind of think they'll clear the decks, they'll have a reset, and they'll be tight and they'll be difficult to break down and they'll be hard to beat. And that didn't happen. Forest were on it from the word go. I was so proud of our lads last week. They really are a smashing bunch. They're a decent bunch of young men, our lads, and they're well worth my support as, you know, as people. And they came out last week and they put in a great shift. They were honest. They were on it. And they were the better side from minute one to minute 95 or 96, whatever it was. And I think 2-0 flattered West Ham. I thought we were, you know, if you think that, you know, Anthony had a shot early on, Morgan had a shot early on. You know, Anthony had a volley that was tipped over the bar by Areola, who actually, in many respects, Alphonse Areola was the best player on the park. And that tells you of the superiority that Forest enjoyed and actually went and got for themselves. So, you know, it was great credit to Forest. I mean, there were other chances as well. You know, I think Danilo had two fantastic efforts. Yatesy came on, he got involved as well. And our lads were well worth that victory. I thought it was terrific. It was a game to lift the spirits, mate. You know, terrific effort by our lads.
Yeah, it was a good win. It felt like a little bit like last season with the atmosphere back at the City Ground as well. It just felt like that kind of magic was coming back, really, which is what we all sing about, isn't it, with Forest and magic on and off the pitch.
Yeah, we do, mate, yeah.
So it sometimes needs to be a lot more magic. Let's look ahead to tomorrow, and we kind of talk about, you mentioned Anthony Elanga there and Callum Hudson-Odoi. Taiwo has a bit of a knock. He got picked up a bit of a knock in the game. I will say, as we're recording this morning, the press conference hasn't taken place with Nuno. That takes place this afternoon later on. So any injury news we haven't got yet. But Taiwo has got a knock. Nuno's been very quiet about it. We don't know whether he'll feature. But the likelihood is maybe potentially Divock Origi will start. Forrest really only option now on the bench given Chris Wood's out injured.
Yeah.
But even with Origi up front, and this is no disrespect to Origi, Dave, but you look at the likes of Anthony Elanga and Callum Hudson-Odoi and more Hudson-Odoi recently that are full of confidence. These are two players that have really, really almost thrived under Forest, under Nuno recently. That front three is very lethal and could probably do Villa damage tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of a sudden we've developed a really good attacking core there, if you like. I mean, our front four, I was on a stream last night, and it wasn't me. It was guys who support other clubs saying, blimey, Forest front four is worth noticing, worth taking note of. I mean, Taiwo's becoming sort of a talisman, really. He plays and he scores, basically, Taiwo. And then, obviously, Anthony and Callum are now giving him service and support, and they're both playing really, really well in their own right. I mean, I think Callum has been absolutely outstanding in the last three or four games. I mean, I think he's scored in every game. He looks to take his man on. He's exciting. Every time we sit in the Trent 10, Max, and every time Callum gets the ball, everybody's sort of standing up straight away. Go on, Callum, take him on. And he's a player you can really warm to. I think he's got good character, and he's, him and Anthony are on rescue missions of their careers, if you like. There's, you know, Callum fell down the pecking order at Chelsea. I mean, there was a time not too long ago where he could have gone to Bayern Munich, I think, for 70 million or something. And we got him for 3 million. He might yet prove to be a mid-hour scattergun, recruitment policy. Callum might prove to be an absolute diamond there. I think he's playing really, really well. He seems to be really enjoying his football. He seems to be enjoying being part of the club. He's obviously, you know, enjoying, if you like, the camaraderie he's having with, like, you know, Anthony Elanga and Taiwo Awoniyi and Morgan. And, you know, the four of them, you look at those four and you think there are goals there. And any club in this division, even the real big guns, you know, the giants at the top, and we're going to be playing two of those in the next 7 days, you know, after this Villa game, they're going to say, hang on a minute, them four need looking after and need dealing with, you know. And I think it's a good blend that we've got there. And with regard to Divock Origi, I watched the highlights again this week, and there's like a back heel volley to set Nico Williams up to pull the ball across for the second goal, and it's like a thing of wonder, you know. So I mean,
his best contribution so far, probably, Dave.
yeah, I would say so. You know, and he scored. I think he scored against. Was it Blackpool in the cup or?
It was Bristol City.
Beg your pardon. You know, and you know, Divock Origi. Let's not beat about the bush. Divock Origi has scored in a Champions League final for Liverpool. You know, so the guy's got ability, and I just think there's just been a gradual progression of him and lots of others. I mean, you go back 3 or 4 months, and we were all saying, where are the goals going to come from? And at that time, let's take Chris Wood. Chris, people were like, well, is this guy past it? Can he still do a job? And now Woody is seen as part of the furniture, part of the fabric of the club. So I think attacking-wise, I think we look, I think we'll get a goal tomorrow. I really do. It's just a matter of whether Ollie Watkins and co get more than we do. I tell you what, Max, it's a fascinating game in prospect. And it reminds me, I have the same sort of feelings about this game that I had going to Newcastle on Boxing Day, where I kind of thought, we're not going to be favourites. We're up against a side that is, you know, a European side. Yeah, Newcastle have been Champions League. Villa, I think, are still in Europe. They're in this Europa Conference Shield vase, whatever it's called, you know. But I just got this feeling that Forest might just go there tomorrow and put up a good show, you know. I mean, I'll take a point now, but I said that about Newcastle, and we ended up winning 3-1 at Newcastle, and we played. I mean, the second half of Newcastle was absolutely superb. So it's just got that feeling that it's a club in the higher echelon. I mean, all logic states that Villa should win. But as I said last night to somebody, logic and football often go in, you know, different directions. So just got a sneaky feeling for us tomorrow to make it difficult. But let's make no bones about it. Aston Villa are a good side, brilliantly managed. I mean, their progression, you know, since Unai Emery came in is just remarkable. And they're good to watch, you know. But Max, they've only won 2 of their last 7. And they just dropped off their standard a little bit. I mean, they kind of righted the ship at Fulham last week. They were very good in winning at Fulham. And that's, as we know, it's not an easy place to go when we had our lowest moment for years, I think, at Fulham before Christmas. So, you know, we lost 5-0 at Fulham, and on a form line through Fulham, Villa have just won 2-1. So you kind of think home banker tomorrow. And all the neutrals are saying home banker tomorrow. But, you know, there's just that little sensation in me gut that says, you know, there is. I think we might do something.
Do you know what, Dave? My first 3 weeks of doing this podcast, I think it was 2 weeks, Forest had that performance against Fulham. We sacked Steve Cooper. We appointed Nuno. We had the points deduction. We had all this stuff. It was like podcast every single
day. Yeah.
But that's what we're here for, to talk about football. Right, let's quickly go and get the opposition view from Dan from the Claret and Blue Villa podcast. I caught up with him earlier this week, and here's what he had to say.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Dan, good to see you, mate. Thanks for chatting to us for the opposition view for Forest v Villa today. Let's start then. Big game, I suppose, in terms of at Villa Park. Nice to see Forest Villa back in the Premier League as well. Two big clubs. And Forest coming to the back of it with a decent win. You looking forward to the game?
I am, yeah. I can't wait to get back to Villa Park. It's weirdly, it feels like a long time, even though it isn't really. Just any time watching Unai Emery ball is a fun time to be had for Villa fans at the moment. So, yeah, thoroughly looking forward to it. And, yeah, we've had some good games, haven't we? You and us over the years, the 5-5 springs to mind as a Villa Park one. But, yeah, thoroughly excited to get back over there on the weekend.
Let's touch on this season for Villa. I mean, how good has it been under Unai Emery so far?
Oh, it's just unreal, really. Like, you have to pinch yourself every so often, obviously doing the podcast as well, where we get to speak about it and overanalyze every single thing that happens during the games is a real pleasure most of the time. I've had a bit of a blip recently, I think, up until obviously the most recent fixture of beating Fulham and Sheffield United a couple of weeks ago. But we lost Pau Torres to injury in December, I think, or late November. And since then, we kind of went off the ball a little bit because he's just that important to the way Emery wants to build up from the back and progressing the ball forwards. He came back and started against Fulham last time out and we won. And we were on our podcast, we were like, that's no coincidence because everything kind of goes through him. In the 25 games, I think it was, when Emery came in last year after Gerrard, he got 49 points, which is incredible in the second half of the season. And he's done exactly the same so far. 25 games played, 49 points again. So super consistent over the course of a year. And if we chip away at that over the next, 13 games, is it, I think, including this one, we should be up in the top five. And fingers crossed that gets Champions League for us. And where we were under Gerrard a couple of years ago, like thinking, where are we headed here under this manager? To literally a couple of years later, 18 months later, talking about we might get into the Champions League has been some journey. And that is down to Unai Emery. So I'd be building a statue outside Villa Park if it was up to me.
Yeah, no, it's been good to see, to be fair. You know, big club like Villa. I think there's a lot of similarities between Forest and Villa as well, kind of being out the Premier League for so long and now back there, and obviously Villa doing, well, a lot better than Forest. Winners,
of course, as everyone knows.
Yeah, exactly. Although everyone says that we bang on about it too much. I suppose when you look at Forest and Villa, what message would you give to the Forest fans and also to Forest as a club, if we wanted to try and replicate Villa's success? You came up in 2019, you beat Derby Forest in the playoff final, and Forest will always be grateful for that. I think Forest hope maybe in the next 4 to 5 years, we'd be in a similar position to as you guys are now, really.
That's a great question. Good luck, probably, is my message to you. It's not easy. Like I said, just we were kind of heading towards relegation, really, under Gerrard, I felt. It was that bad. And I suppose the similarities, maybe Forest fans will disagree here, but from my perspective, I would say that the promotion to the Premier League, similar to Forest in a way that you have to go on a great run to finally get there, both going up through the playoffs. Obviously, our manager at the time was Dean Smith, who we had a great connection with as a Villa fan. Now, Cooper wasn't a Forest fan, but he had that sense that he understood the club, he understood the area, and you had that real connection with him. Villa's sacking of Smith when it wasn't really going well led to Gerrard. And it was kind of like, well, we've kind of had the good days under Smith now, but he's not going to take us where we need to go. We need to make that change now. And we go to Gerrard and get it horribly wrong. And it's only the failures of Gerrard that have led to Emery in a roundabout way. So we've kind of, I don't want to say felt lucky with it, but sacking our version of Cooper was wrong for us to do because it led to Gerrard. And hopefully for Forest fans, not this weekend though, Cooper going to Nuno won't be the disastrous appointment, and it's the one that comes after Nuno is the one that gets you success. But we've got a world-class manager. When he came to Villa were 17th, but there's still something about it that he saw that challenge, and there's obviously very wealthy ownership there. There was a lot of great players that were underperforming, and he maybe saw something in that as an opportunity to get us back where we are now. I don't think anyone would have predicted us to be going for Champions League and stuff. When Emery took over, we thought, well, let's just get into the top half first and we'll see that as some kind of success. So message to Forest is that you need that bit of luck to be able to attract a great manager, and hopefully, as I say, Nuno is that for you. It can be done, I suppose, is the message. If you've got ownership that are willing to back you and willing to invest, FFP permitting, where it's allowed to be. The kind of infrastructure, I suppose, is there for Forest as a big club with a stadium and a city behind them, and it's got that kind of feeling with it, past glories, ready to kind of be reignited and all that kind of thing. It can be done, but you've got to get your ownership obviously invested and producing the funds required to build a team. You need to get the right manager in place, and you've got to get your recruitment right. And I think if you can do all of those and get like a perfect harmony between all of them, which Villa feel like they have, yeah, it can be done that you progress yourself back into Europe, but I'm not sure whether that's feasible for Forest at the moment. Would you, do you feel differently?
I think, I think it is. I think given the possible points deduction, I mean, look, we could be sat here in 6 months' time saying that Forest aren't a Premier League side anymore. Let's hope that that's not the case. But I think it will just take time. And I think there's been uncertainty off the pitch with the ownership and with a scattergun recruitment, as you like. So there's got to be more people in place and probably more plans, but fingers crossed.
I suppose you mentioned the similarities between Villa and Forest. I suppose the thing maybe you'd look at and hold your hat on a little bit is that Nuno maybe is the kind of template to follow. If he's the guy that you've picked at the moment and you're going to be with him for the next 2, 3, 4 years, he got Wolves into Europe, who were probably overachieving to get where they got to. So rather than try and think, well, Villa and Forest got promoted fairly recently, they're kind of two big clubs, can we emulate that? I suppose if you can emulate what Nuno did at Wolves at Forest, that would be a good starting point.
Yeah, definitely. And he's had a good start, you know, since he's come in. I mean, the football for me, he's playing is much better, sadly, than it was under Steve Cooper. You know, it pains me to say it, but Forest look brighter going forward. They look more attacking. It's just defensively and kind of silly errors that have cost Forest recently. So they've just got to kind of sound them out. Let's look ahead to the game. Who's Villa's biggest threat? I mean, I can pick out a few who scare me. I mean, the whole side at the minute and the whole club. But who would you be saying to Forest fans travelling to Villa Park on Saturday to watch out for in a way?
I suppose the obvious two in terms of the word threat would be the forward options. Watkins and Bailey, I suppose. Were they on your list?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. Bailey's been like a man possessed this season at times. I'd written him off on our podcasts at various stages last year. He was very injury prone. We kind of joked about his hamstrings being made out of cheese strings and all these kind of things, which is probably quite disrespectful to a Premier League footballer. But, you know, you have a couple of good games, then break down. You'd think there's just no consistency from him. Villa have been riddled with injuries this year. Some serious ones as well, with three ACLs, which is unheard of, frankly. And Bailey's been injury-free all season, which is the irony of how football goes sometimes. And he's having his best season for us. And Watkins, the other one, I suppose, is somebody who I think is a world-class striker. And I know a lot of fans will disagree with that, because you see him on Match of the Day missing chances and going 4 or 5 games without scoring. But then he goes on patches where he scores every single week and he looks absolutely lethal, as he did at Fulham at the weekend. He's unbelievable and one of the best strikers in the division, in my opinion. So in terms of threat from a who's going to punish you in terms of scoring goals, it'd be those two. But players like Douglas Luiz are brilliant. Pau Torres is a great footballer in kind of setting things off. So a lot of areas that Forest need to be careful of. But kind of Watkins playing off the shoulder and spinning centre-backs and running in behind is something that I think you might see at Villa Park on Saturday.
Dave, when you look at a club like Villa, and I kind of touched on it in the intro, big club, big stadium, doing really well at the minute. You talked about just before Dan came on about the progress that Unai Emery has made for them. It's just nice to see this fixture back in the Premier League, and it's nice to see Villa actually doing quite well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, it's a sort of game that should be in the Premier League. I mean, we played them in the Championship a few times. Remember that 5-5 at Villa Park that night, which was just, you know, it was like a psychedelic trip of a football match, that, you know, which it was like bonkers. It was probably the most bonkers match there's ever been.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are two great clubs. You know, we've got two European Cups. They've only got the one, remember? But, you know, it's just set up to be a really, really good game. It's soaked in history, this game. And, you know, but it's in the here and now. And I, as I said to you, mate, I just think it's tantalizing. As I say, everybody thinks it's home banker, but you never know. You never know. I really like what we're doing at the moment. I think we are getting towards a settled side. I've got to give a big shout out to my little Argentinian mate, Nicolas Dominguez. I think he's a smashing player. He's like a dog with a bone. He can't let go of that lad, can he? You know, he's sort of getting into tackles and winning stuff. And, you know, he's doing a good thing. I remember talking to some Bournemouth people and they were like, God, what a little, you know, four-letter word he is. And he kind of think, well, then Nicolas Dominguez is obviously doing something right. If that's what opposition, you know, fans think, I think he's terrific. I mean, Murillo, the Mikel, you know, Murillo was already getting his own highlight reel of iconic moments, you know, from the run at Crystal Palace. I mean, last week he's dealing with Mikel Antonio one-on-one was just for a young lad making his way in the game. And let's remember, he's not been playing professional football that long. Murillo was a fantastic effort, you know, he's developing all the time. So I think we are getting towards, you know, an accepted starting lineup that isn't going to change to him. I felt there was too much chaos before, too much fluidity, you know, that seems to be settling down. That said, Willie, Ibrahim and Ola are all back now after AFCON and their heroics there. And it'll be interesting to see what Nuno does with regard to those, you know. But my view is, if it was me, don't change the winning side. I mean, the lot who played last week earned the right to start again. They earned their shirts. And it's just a matter of, and as you said, Max, the Taiwo situation is interesting. I think Colin interviewed Taiwo after last week's game, and he and Colin made mention of Taiwo having to go off for a knock, but Taiwo was like, not so. No, he said it was all part of an accepted plan that he would play 60, 65, and then Divock would come on. So, you know, I suspect Taiwo will be all right. If he's not, then Divock will have to do the job. And, you know, he came on last week and he had a hand in the goal. So, you know, our lads, from a psychological point of view, our lads are in a good moment right now. You know, and I think. Like I say, on the quiet, they'll fancy their chances at Villa Park, and it'll help that they're written off. You know, sometimes, I mean, take Luton Town, for example, written off. They get to a game against Sheffield United at Kenilworth Road, and everybody expects them to win. And lo and behold, they lost it. Mm. You know, so it's where you kind of place yourself in the context of a game. And I think Forest are at the point tomorrow where they're quite happy to kind of get into Villa Park under the radar and, you know, I just hope they play better than they did in April last year or whenever it was where we were outclassed, really, never really in the game. It'd be nice to go there and actually stick a flag in the ground and say, we're Nottingham Forest. You're going to have to work hard, Villa, to beat us. That'd be nice, just as a start point.
Who do you fear most tomorrow, Dave, from a Villa point of view? You've got to be looking at probably Ollie Watkins, the front man.
Ollie Watkins is... in great form, he's quick. He puts, you know, he's got great movement. I'd love him to play for us. I think that's always the thing to say about a guy. You know, would you like to see him in a Garibaldi red? Yeah, I'd love to see Ollie Watkins in a Garibaldi red. He's an excellent player. Matty Cash playing. You know, Matty Cash has proved how good our academy is. He's gone on to Villa and he's actually progressed. You know, he's playing international football for Poland now. Cash is always, you know, going to be a danger because he's quick and he's a really good overlapping fullback, you know. I like Diaby, Leon Bailey, very useful. Yeah. They've got good players all over the park. You know, they've got a World Cup winning goalkeeper in goal, although having said that, at the City Ground, he kind of blotted his copybook, you know, for Oral Mangala's goal. But where I do think Forest could have some joy is that I don't think Villa will have their first choice central defensive duo out. So I think it's going to be Pau Torres and Longley, who would not be their first choice centre-halves. They're still going to be really good because Villa have got really good depth in their squad. But, you know, maybe if our front four are as we've seen and as we hope they'll be tomorrow, I think there's a possibility that we could have some joy there. But we're going to have to work really hard. And the very first requirement is
Yes.
Humility and hard work, feet on the ground, and then we go from there, mate.
Yeah, we'll see. Hate to ask you, Dave, but finally, then your prediction tomorrow, can you see possibly? I went actually with Dan on the preview. I said that Forest would draw. I think it'll be quite a high score, and I think it'll be a 2-2 draw tomorrow.
I fancy a draw as well, Max. And I'm so unoriginal, mate. I'm such a leader, not a follower. You know, a follower,
go 5-5 again.
I think it'll be 6-6, Max. I think it'll be 6-6. I think Tammy Abraham will score 6 for them and Lewis Graben will score 6 for us. Something like that. I think it will be a really entertaining game, but I think this, you know, slightly adjusted Forest will go there and they won't just go there and sit and try and contain it and contain Villa. They won't go and think, right, let's damage limitation. I think Forest will think, no, why not? Let's go and have a go. I mean, our disgruntled PE teacher, Mr. Espiritu Santo, I'll tell you what, when he walks up and down that touch, like, it reminds me of like nasty PE teachers I had in the past who I was really wary of. You know, you wouldn't forget your Mr. Espiritu Santo, I forgot me kit. You know, wouldn't like to get on the wrong side. I think his press conferences, Max, are legendary because he just treats all of the questions as if they're the most banal suggestions he's ever heard. You know, he kind of look at him, his facial expressions are like, well, what do you expect me to say? You know what I mean? I think he finds them. And I tell you what, I love his programme notes. We used to get like chapter and verse from Steve. Nuno, 2 sentences. We have to try and improve. Thank you for your support. And he's great. The thing with Nuno is I think he's simplified a lot of stuff, actually. And I think he'll say to our lads, you've got a chance to do this. I mean, the way I look at it, a win tomorrow would be huge, mate. It would come out of the blue. It would rattle the other 6 around us because I think it's a bottom 7. I think it's Luton, Sheffield United and Burnley, Everton, us, Palace and Brentford. And of those 7, we've had the best week. You know, Sheffield United lost 5 at home. Burnley lost 5 at home. Luton have lost twice in 4 days, admittedly to United and Liverpool. You know, Palace and Everton drew. Brentford have lost twice in 4 days. We've won. Now, if we were to win tomorrow, I mean, Palace and Burnley play each other, so one of those or either of them are gonna sort of falter a bit. If we were to win tomorrow, I think it'd be huge, and it would be alarming for the other 6 because the other 6 would think, blimey, Forest have gone to Villa Park and won. Ooh, that would be a real statement. I think to win at Villa Park tomorrow, it would put the cat among the pigeons. The other 6 around us. And, you know, we're on 24. Palace and Brentford have got 25. If they think they're not in it, they are. And Palace and Brentford have sleepwalked into it. I've always thought we were in it. And I think our club generally have always thought we were in it. Maybe not at the start of the season when we were playing quite well. But
Given the points deduction. Yeah, I think given...
And that's another thing. We need to build up a cushion to absorb any points deduction that might come. But I just think, Brentford and Palace in particular have to readjust their thinking. They're in it. I know Palace will think that we've got Glasner in now and we're going to, like, you know, motor away. But, you know, I've got a funny thing. I think Crystal Palace have dropped something this week or last week. I mean, to bring a new manager in, well, your previous manager is in a hospital bed. I think it lacks respect and it lacks empathy. And I think that kind of thing will come back on you. Always want the moral high ground, always, Max.
Yeah.
And you know, if that was Nottingham Forest manager in a bed in hospital poorly, and Forest were like bringing another guy, and be like, oh, hang on a minute, you know, fair's fair, let's treat somebody with human dignity and respect. And I think Palace have not exactly covered themselves in glory. Glasner's a fine coach. What he did with Frankfurt is there for all to see, but I just think it's not a good thing to do, you know. So I mean, Everton are at Brighton. They won 5-1 there last year. Will they do it again? I don't know. Blades play Wolves on Sunday. Wolves are a good side. They just won at Tottenham. Neto's out of this world at the moment. So, you know, I think if Forest go about their business and, you know, first thing, give a good account of yourself. Even if we get beat, let's stress Villa out. A point would be terrific. 3 points, mate. Ooh, I think my head might just explode. But, we'll see. you know, there's opportunities there for Forest tomorrow, you know, in the game itself, and then in what goes around it in terms of the table and our rivals and making a statement. So I think there's lots for Forest to go and grab there tomorrow if they're good enough. And time will tell about that.
Best behaviour, please, tomorrow, Dave, at Villa Park. I know what you like on an away day. Strawberry.
Yeah,
strawberry milkshakes, something like that.
Strawberry milkshakes, mate. I'm looking forward again to the. I had a tray of curry and chips, Max, in the Doug Ellis stand last year. And you kind of think, oh, it's just curry and chips. And it was fantastic. And the folks who served me, the folks who were working on the sort of food bar underneath that, they're absolutely lovely. So I'm definitely going to have a curry sauce and chips. It just depends. If it's raining, then I'm not going to bother, you know, because I don't want rain all over me curry and chips. But we'll see. It's something, like you say, we both said, something to really look forward to. I mean, this is a great week to be a Nottingham Forest fan coming up. Aston Villa away in the Premier League, Manchester United at home in the fifth round of the FA Cup, and then the league leaders, Liverpool, at home in the Premier League next week. I mean, if you love football like I do, and that's a week from heaven. I tell you what, Max, I saw some social media posts this week from some people who said they'd rather be back in the Championship because, oh, well, we've got a chance to win in and we'll get a ticket and all this stuff. No. I want to stay in the Premier League. I want to play Aston Villa, Manchester United and Liverpool in a week rather than, and no disrespect, Rotherham United, Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield Town. Let me put it like that. And I just think our lads at the moment have a look about them. You kind of think we might be all right. But, you know, I've often fallen over after saying things like that, mate, you know.
We'll see. Fingers crossed. Onwards and upwards for Forest. We will see you next week for our review of the game on Villa and Monday for our main episode. Do take care. Remember, we're across Spotify, Apple Podcasts and YouTube, Garibaldi Red. So drop us a like, share and review if you do enjoy. Dave, thank you. And fingers crossed for 3 points tomorrow. Have a great time if you're there at Villa Park tomorrow. Enjoy it if you're watching on the telly. And we'll see you all very soon. Take care.